Greet each one in the precious name of Jesus. It's good to be here with you. Thank you for the hospitality we felt already last evening today. And I want to say, first of all, thank you as a congregation for sharing Brother Allen with us a couple weeks ago and being the minister of God to us. It's a real blessing to this congregation. It's been on my heart to visit here for some time. I've got to know some of the brethren here through the work in Mendon. I think close to 10 years ago I first went there, and so I've been had to come visit the church where some of this started from. And so it's a blessing to be here. Not that because you are just something so different than anybody else, but you serve God. The same God that we serve in Alabama. It's a blessing to serve a God that is anywhere we go on planet Earth. It's the same God there. And so it's a blessing to be here with you this morning. Bring you greetings from the congregation at home also. If you come to North Alabama sometime, swing in and visit us there. I'd be glad to have you. Just for a few thoughts here in opening meditation to draw our minds to God, I'd like to develop a thought that begins in the first few words in the scripture. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God." Then we go to the first verse of the book of John. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then we go to the 1 John, the first verses there. It says, "That which was from the beginning." And it talks about the Word of life, and later it says, "Declare unto you," and I'd like to declare unto you who this is talking about. That is Jesus Christ. I'd like to declare unto you Jesus Christ this morning. What a blessing we have a God, the Son, Jesus Christ, in all the work that He did. And it's a blessing to know that we have someone that has experienced a lot what we face in life. I'd like to present to you Jesus Christ. I know you know Him, but I just this morning want to draw attention to Him. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. I'd like you to just develop these passages a little bit further. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, as I been some time ago, as I looked at this, and it's interesting, I noticed this phrase is used numerous times in Scripture. As I look at each one, it's just a blessing to see what God has for us there. Just going to read the first two verses there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." In the beginning, it implies something we know is in the beginning of time, but we know God is before time, so there was a beginning for time, but before that implies something else was before that. So in the beginning of what we understand it to be today, there was something else. And the next word says it, God. In the beginning, God. I thought the thought there is plurality, it's Elohim, the thought of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we see the Holy Trinity is introduced here in the first few words of the Scripture. So in what we know as beginning, there was God. But before that, He was. From eternity past. And we look, and when we try to think of eternity in our finite minds as humans, our minds almost bog down. Maybe the processor in our brain just slows down as much as it finally just kind of bottoms out. It crashes. Because when we think of eternity past or eternity future, it's something we can kind of think about it, but it's just beyond us. But here, in the beginning, there was something. When we know it's the beginning of time, there was God, and He was from eternity past. Before there was anything as we know it today, God was. In the beginning, God. I found this saying or this reading about that. It's something we cannot fully, we never can fully grasp, and it's hard to explain it. But this here, I'd like to just read this here. It's a quote from someone else that kind of just, it gets a little wordy maybe, but it kind of helps us just get the wow of who God is. "A general definition of this great first cause, as far as human words dare attempt one, may be thus given: the eternal, independent, and self-existent being. The being whose purposes and actions spring from himself without foreign motive or influence. He who is absolute in dominion, the most pure, the most simple, and the most spiritual of all essences. Infinitely benevolent, beneficent, true, and holy. The cause of all being, the upholder of all things, infinitely happy, because infinitely perfect, and eternally self-sufficient, needing nothing that he has made. Illimitable in his immensity, inconceivable in his mode of existence, and indescribable in his essence, known fully only to himself, because an infinite mind can be fully apprehended only by itself. In a word, a being who, from his infinite wisdom, cannot err or be deceived, and who, from his infinite goodness, can do nothing but what is eternally just, right, and kind. End of quote there. But it just, I like some of these words here. It's inconceivable, it's indescribable. And just those thoughts, that's God is. If he wasn't that, he wouldn't be God. But so we, in the beginning, this entity, this being, this person who is God was. In the beginning, God created. Now let's go to John chapter 1. We'll read the first 14 verses here in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word. And this, the word here means the Logos. It's the divine expression of God. In the beginning was the divine expression of God, and that is Jesus Christ. And it was a full, complete message of God to mankind. And it says here, he's talking about Jesus Christ here. He was, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then he goes on saying how this came down to earth. This Word, this Logos, this expression of God came down to earth. And it says here, and the Word was God. So we see here it's specifying Jesus Christ himself is also God. He's God the Son. The prophet spoke of God's Word to God's people in the Old Testament. They gave instruction, they gave warning, and they even offered glimpses of the divine glory that was to come. They were looking forward to something. In Hebrews talks about they were looking forward to, they weren't even sure quite what it was, but they looked forward to something, even though they didn't know exactly how it would be. They even prophesied of Jesus, the Logos, the Word, coming from God. But in Jesus, we have the Word embodied. He was not just another messenger. He was the message. I just that thought, as it first came across, it gripped me. He didn't just have a message to share. He was the message. Jesus Christ was the message. And there he was. And it says he came in the flesh. He was there. Here in verse 14 it says that the Word came and says, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They saw him. They experienced him there. And here we won't take the time and look at what John said here. But John was a witness of that. He said, I'm not the light, but there's a light that's coming, and here he is. and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The divine expression of God came down to earth and dwelt here. So we think of that. Those who saw and heard Jesus found the one who was there to bridge the gap between heaven and earth. Jesus was there to bridge that gap. Now let's go to 1 John 1. A few thoughts we want to gather from there. Again, the idea of from the beginning. 1 John 1, verse 1. And that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was made manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So we, in the beginning, God, Elohim, plurality. In the beginning, the Word, Jesus Christ. And it talks there in John where He came down. Now here it goes explaining that with how they experienced Him. In that which was from the beginning, God Himself, Jesus Christ. Then it says, which we have heard. They're saying we actually heard Him speak. And it's not the hearing that they heard back there in Mount Sinai where they trembled in fear and shaking. But here was a person and they heard God speaking. It says our eyes have looked. They actually saw Him. Then it says, and our hands have handled. They touched Him. Here was a physical person they touched, and it was the Son of God. So we see here they experienced Jesus in real life. And verse 2, for the life, and its idea is there, God was made manifested to them. God Himself came through the divine expression of Jesus Christ, the Logos, to this world. And it says there to show that He was eternal, to show unto you the eternal life. Well, it was with the Father before. Now that life has been manifested here on this earth in the flesh as a man. And we try to grasp at the idea of God Himself coming down here. How Jesus was 100% man and yet 100% God. What an awesome thought of Christ coming down here. Verse 2 is in parentheses. In verse 3, kind of continues the thought. And again, he says, that which we have seen and heard. It's kind of like, are you sure you're getting this? We have actually saw this person. We have heard Him. I think he's emphasized the importance of that. Then he goes on to declaring this to us. And he's showing us that we have fellowship with the Son. He said, and so there in verse 3, that which we have seen, we declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. He might invite them into this fellowship with Jesus Christ. And then he says this, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. That fellowship had disconnected one time, and now it's with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And I think that is the goal here. He's saying the goal is to bring us in fellowship with Jesus Christ and the Father. That's the goal here. And we experience that together. Fellowship here gives the idea of partnership or participation together. It's a sharing the same beliefs and actions or having things in common. We like to have fellowship together. We like to do that on a level here with other brothers and sisters. But he's saying we can have that with God the Father and His Son. What a blessing. Tremendous blessing. Then in verse 4, it gives a sense here that if we have this full and clear view of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, fellowship with Him and with each other, which one follows from the other, that will be the source of true happiness. Their joy would be complete in that. Notice there it says, and these things write unto you that your joy may be full, complete, because it's found in Jesus Christ. My mind goes to John 15:11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. We can have fullness of joy because this Logos, this God from eternity past, came down here on earth and demonstrated to us. Jesus is the Logos of God. One person's put it this way, God's greatest, clearest, brightest, and most urgent message to mankind. Remember, he didn't just have a message, he was the message. Then notice this here, John 4:23 says, But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. And it says this, and for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God the Father wants us to worship him. The idea of seeking there means actively going after. It means planning or plotting to find. And that's an amazing picture. You think of that. True worshipers are not approached by a reluctant, distant, uncaring God. But the idea is here, but one who is actively seeking worshipers. God is wanting worshipers. What an awesome thought. Now, I'd like to just share a little bit on Jesus, the Lamb of God, and then conclude. We're talking about this Logos, this Jesus that came down. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Because of sin, man was separated from God. Through the Old Testament, God was pointing out or pointing to things, how this could take place to restore this relationship. And one thing was, it took the blood of animals. We could talk about even in the Garden of Eden, or after the Garden of Eden there, when Cain brought his sacrifice, somehow there was no bloodshed and God rejected that. Let's look forward now into Egypt. God carried out through the last plague his sentence on sin, and it was death. But how did the Israelites escape? Exodus 12, 13 says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So there, when God came into the land of Egypt, he saw the blood on the doorways, he passed over. It was a sign of an answer to the death sentence there. So the yearly Passover was a memorial to that amazing deliverance there. They had the Passover. And that was one way, but God had many other ways in the Old Testament to show this. And it's just some information or thoughts that come across, and I'm taking this from someone else. I'm sure it's accurate in most of it here. But the fact of what they were doing, did you know every morning, evening, there was a sacrifice of a lamb, a sacrificial lamb, every morning, evening. If I understand it right, on the Sabbath day, there was two of them. It was doubled on the Sabbath day. The beginning of every month, likewise, had a special sacrifice or extra sacrifices. There were special feast days where there were prescribed sacrifices. There was even a feast called, or a day called, the Day of Atonement. And all that was to show what needed to happen. So we see this. It was always the blood of animals being poured out, being sprinkled, or sometimes applied in other ways. It was a part of a ritual. As this here one person said, represent the life of the sacrificial animal, the blood showed God's people that to spare them from the consequence of their sin, a life had to be forfeited on their behalf. And that's what was shown. Anytime there was bloodshed, there was death. It's been said that over 1,100 animals were slain every year for these prescribed sacrifices. And that's not the ones for people that went personally to sacrifice for their own sins. So all through this is a message was clear, and that was this. Sin leads to death. Deliverance from death will come only through the death of another on your behalf. That was the message came through over and over. And we won't turn there, but Hebrews 10:4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away your sins. There was only a temporary thing. And then Hebrews 10:1 said it was a shadow of good things to come. But then John the Baptist saw Jesus, and I think he shouted out the news. He says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Beautiful picture. He's saying, here is the real Lamb. Here is the real deal. This is what will take care of it. It's the one that all the signs are pointing forward to. This is the one, the only one, whose lifeblood would count to save us from sin's death sentence. So we see Jesus did what all of the lambs could not do. He took away our sins and opened up a way for us to come back into fellowship with God the Father. There in 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, him declare we unto you. Jesus, the beautiful Lamb of God. Now I just want to leave us with that thought this morning. What I want to declare unto you, Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful Lamb of God he is. Now we can have this relationship with God the Father because of what he has done for us. What amazing that God was willing to do that for us. The eternal Logos from eternity past, dwelt on earth to make so we can have a relationship with God, of eternal God, and one day go spend eternity future with Him. What amazing privilege we have. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our dear Father, we thank You for who You are, the eternal God. Thank You that You've blessed us with this privilege through Your Son, Jesus Christ. He came here and He was the message Himself. We didn't deserve it. And yet, Lord, You want a relationship with us, and we thank You for that. That You're a God that wants relationship and wants to communicate with us. And we want to just live our lives in answer to that, Lord, and say, here we are. We want to sacrifice ourselves just as Jesus Himself sacrificed Himself from the cross and give up our lives to serve You. Thank You, God, for the privilege of being a servant of Yours, a son and daughter of Yours. And may we just live our lives in the way that You'd have us to. Bless this congregation here. Bless each one of them. Thank You for the encouragement they've been to me already. And may we both all go forward from here, Lord, just thanking You for who You are and living our lives in the ways You want us to, and that the world would see they have been with Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.